cool. So something, I don't know, maybe you guys have heard about it earlier. Something happened in the coffee shop that's just kind of pressed upon my heart. This guy, I don't know any details other than this guy had a seizure in the coffee shop. He's bleeding from the mouth. Paramedics came, took him away. So before I even get into this, into the word, into the teaching, let's go ahead and pray for this guy. Heavenly Father, God, we just come before you, Lord, and we just want to lift up the man who had the seizure in the coffee shop, Lord. Lord, we ask that he would be okay. We ask that you would heal him. Just touch him, Lord. And I pray, God, that he wouldn't be burdened too much by this experience in his life, Lord. But I pray that your hand would be upon him, that you would heal him, that you'd be comforting to him, to his family, to his friends, that the people around him at the time and the people that he knows would just seek you in this moment, Lord, in this time of this man's life, God. We ask that your will would be done, God, and we ask, Lord, that that you would ultimately would be glorified. That being said, Lord, we know that life is precious. No matter if we live over 100 years old, it's still precious and it's so quick. Let us spend our lives, Lord, chasing you, desiring you, and focusing upon you. Just as the song said, let you be the center of our lives, Lord. God, we just ask that you would be here tonight, that your spirit would fill our hearts, and that we would grasp the words that you have prepared. In your name, amen. Cool. Oh, that feels good. Cool, so when I was in middle school, the song came out that was very, very popular. The song was If I Rule the World by Nas. N-A-S, a hip-hop artist. This guy is an amazing hip-hop artist. Now, this song mentioned that if Nas ruled the world, that we'd all have top dollars. And imagine everybody flashing fashion designer clothes. And lacing your click up with diamond bows. In other words, lacing your best friends up with amazing, nice rims and on nice cars. Now, this song also mentions a lot of other things. How he would rule the world, what he would do, what would happen. Some of these things are good. For example, we'd all have top dollars. Yeah, it could be good, could be bad. But most of it, most of the song is bad. Then a few years later, I get into high school. And an older movie had become popular. I'm sure you guys have seen the posters. You guys maybe even seen the t-shirts. Or even seen the video game. This movie is Scarface. Yeah. So, a lot of people to this day still quote this movie. This movie would get quoted all the time. I couldn't go an hour without hearing somebody quote this movie. But there's a part in the movie when Tony Montana, the main character, who's played by Al Pacino, he's looking out into the ocean. And he sees this blimp, a Goodyear blimp. And rolling across it, it says, the world is yours. He's feeling pretty good at this point. He's like, yeah, the world is mine. I got all this cash. I have a mansion. I have some nice cars. I have guns. I have drugs. I have money. What else does anybody need? I have it all. Little did he know that his world would literally come crashing down to a halt. And I was in that same situation a few years back, before I knew Christ. See, I had always been an entrepreneur. I had always been chasing the money, chasing the material possessions. So when I was about 18, 19 years old, I had an amazing job. I was balling. I had a lot of cash. Now, I don't come from a well-off family. So I had a good-paying job. I had a brand-new car. Always had money. I had drugs. I had a business. I had girlfriends. I was popular. Went to parties, threw parties, had a house. Then one day, in a snap, it was gone. Everything was gone except the clothes and the car. Everything else was gone in my life. unlike Tony Montana's life, Al Pacino's life in this movie, his life was, and everything in his life was taken away from him. Let me explain. The most famous scene in the movie, Tony Montana sitting in his office. He sees intruders coming in on the monitors for the security system. So he gets his guns ready. He sees that they have full automatic assault rifles. They know it's either, he's thinking, okay, they're going to kill me or I'm going to kill them. So before you know it, there's this huge gun scene breaking out. Now, what eventually happens, Tony Montana is shot about 100 times, falls through the banister into the pool on the first floor. Now, keep in mind, this pool is in the middle of his house. So his world came literally crashing down to a halt. Everything in his life, including his life, was taken away. The world wasn't his, and I wasn't sitting on top of the world. That's why I can't stress it, that these material possessions, these goods go quicker than they come. That's why I've entitled this message, Love the World and Be Destroyed, Love God and Be Restored. So let's get into our text, which is in 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to see what I'm talking about. We're going to be starting off in verse 15. Give you guys a second. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So verse 15 brings me to my first point. Love God or love evil? You can't serve two masters. As a matter of fact, that what you're looking at right there is believed to be the tomb that Jesus was laid in. Ken could vouch for you. He was there with me. That was taken in the garden tomb in Israel, right next to Golgotha, Calvary. Just a side fact. I thought you guys might like that. So, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So what John is saying here, he's not only giving us a command, but also a warning about loving the world or the things in the world. And the thing about it is non-Christians and millions and billions of people have this problem in their life. It's this void. This empty void that these people will try to fill their void with. They'll try to fill it with anything they possibly can. With alcohol, with drugs, with violence, with money, with work, with a girlfriend, with a boyfriend, and so forth. With clothes, with your new Xbox, with your new PS3, with your new Envy cell phone, your new whatever. These people go after all these things to fill this void, but yet they're still empty. They're still seeking that void. You could ask the biggest, richest people if they're truly happy. Guarantee they're not. But Romans 12:2, turn with me to Romans 12:2. And look what Paul says about the world and how Christians should behave. Now I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. Do not copy the behavior and customs of the world, of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will really is. So tonight, I want you guys to ask yourself some questions. With that being said, with the words of Paul and with the words of John have already been spoken, ask you guys yourselves some questions. Am I loving the things in the world? Am I loving the material possession, the money, the clothes, the popularity? Do I have a love for the world in my heart? Are you guys going after these things? Are you chasing them? I want you guys to examine your hearts. Because if so, I'm sorry to say, but the love of the Father is not in you. As John says it right here in verse 15. Here's some more words of caution. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 7. We're going to see what Jesus has to say about the world. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify of it that its works are evil. So, if you guys love the world, Jesus says that the world and the works of the world are evil. So if you love the world, then you love evil. Therefore, the love of God is not in you. And you don't know the love that God has, or the love that God produces in your lives. But there is a way to escape the love of the world. That's by knowing the love that God has for us, by sending his only Son to die for our sins, so that he's a propitiation for our sins. God sent his only Son to this world so that he would die, so that we would have eternal life, so that we wouldn't be condemned to eternal hell, eternal torment and torture with gnashing of teeth, but that we would be in heaven glorifying God in the New Jerusalem. So this brings me to my second point. Are you of the world or in the world? It's verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Something about these three areas. These are the same three areas that Jesus was tempted in. After his feast in the forest, after his baptism, he went into the forest, fasted for 40 days. Satan then comes and greets him and tempts him. Turn with me to Matthew 4, and we're going to see this. The Gospel of Matthew. Verse 3. Now then, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him up on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Verse 8. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him, Jesus. So, we notice that Jesus was tempted three times by the devil. As a matter of fact, hey, Ruben, go back to that slide, the second point. I want to show you guys something pretty cool. Right in the bottom left corner, see how the wall corners right there? That is said to be the pinnacle of the temple. Amazing sight. And to the right of that gold dome right there, it's believed by scholars that that's where the new Jerusalem is going to be set. The new temple is going to be set to the right of that. You go a little bit more to the right, continuing the wall, you got the Eastern Gate. That's where Jesus is going to come down when he returns. And me and Ken are standing at the Mount of Olives looking down right now. Just a side note, but that's where Jesus was tempted, just to give you guys an idea. Now, the lust of the flesh is your sinful nature. It's what makes you want to sin. The lust of the eyes, the materialism, the people, the covetousness, and the pride of life. Something about pride. What you guys think about? Pride is what got Satan kicked out of heaven. It's what got Adam and Eve kicked out of the garden. Something interesting else about pride? I is in the middle of pride. Now these three areas, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, are the three areas of sin. And Satan will and does tempt these will tempt us in these three areas of our lives all the time, on a continual basis. He just didn't tempt Jesus. He just didn't tempt Eve. But he tempts each and every single one of us with these areas, with the lust and with the pride. And it's sad to say that these areas are becoming more apparent everywhere we look. Drive down the street, look at the billboards. Turn on the TV, listen to secular music. Go to the mall, watch a movie. And something interesting that it just blows my mind is how advertisers have now changed the way that advertising is compared to 10 years ago. The stuff you guys see now on TV, the way that the advertisers use it, wouldn't have been allowed 10, 15 years ago. But now it's more acceptable. They'll use sex. They'll use whatever they can. They'll use a catchy jingle, a catchy song to get that product stuck in your mind so that you're craving it, so that the flesh is coming out. And then when you get it, it's like, oh, dude, check out my new cell phone. Check out my new 80 gig video iPod. Check out my new PS3. Check this out. And you're prideful about it. Check out my new Mac laptop. And you're boasting and you're prideful. And advertisers will use these areas because they'll know it'll stick in your mind and it'll stick in your heart. And if your mind and your heart are on it, you're going to go and buy it, regardless if you could afford it or not. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes work together. They work as almost one in unity. And it's all part of Satan's plan to destroy our lives, to trap us, to go after nonsense. So that not only our lives are destroyed here on earth and they're corrupted, but also that our lives are destroyed eternally. He doesn't want to see us to go to heaven. He wants us to go down with him. The question is, how are you going to combat that fight? Are you going to be like Jesus and defend the fight with Scripture, with the Word of God? Are you going to cave in? Are you going to try it on your own? Good luck. I know whenever I try anything on my own, God breaks me and says, I have to give up and I have to surrender. Just give it to God right away. Fight the good fight with the Word of God. And I can't stress it enough, guys. Be in the Word daily. Be in prayer daily. Yeah, some of your friends might think, oh, reading the Bible is lame. Praying to God is lame. I used to have friends like that. Tell you what, it's not lame. It's lame not to. It's going to be lame when they're down there in heaven looking up and seeing you hanging out with God in all his glory. So this brings me to my third and final point. A vanishing world, not a vanishing God. Verse 17. First John. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So John here is warning us that the world is ending. Here it is over 1900 years ago, after John had written these words, that it's even more relevant. John knew that the world was ending. And how much more realistic is it today? I'm sure you guys have heard something about global warming. Maybe shortages of natural resources, of gasoline, of oil. Maybe you guys heard of glaciers melting. As a matter of fact, last week, I believe it was Thursday or Friday, but they just discovered that a 25 square mile glacier, a sheet of ice, broke off in the Canadian Arctic. It separated. Scientists don't know if this is from global warming or what's causing it, but they're really pumped because it might actually open up the Northwest Passage so that ships don't have to go from the Atlantic to the Pacific going all the way down through the Panama Canal. So now they could just go a little up and across and back down instead of going all the way back down to South America and then going all the way back up. So scientists are pumped for that. To me, it really doesn't matter. I've only been on a few boats in my life. So, and also last week, something interesting also happened. One of my favorite animals at the zoo is now on the endangered species list. This animal, I love watching this animal. It's just so big and so beautiful and so white. It's a polar bear. How many of you guys like polar bears? Polar bears are Coca-Cola. Nice. Well, sad thing is, on Tuesday, they're now on the endangered species list. Last Tuesday, scientists predict in less than 50 years, there will be no more polar bears at the zoo. And they're blaming this on global warming and on hunting. But it's not necessarily just the hunting, not necessarily just the global warming. This is all part of God's divine plan. So there's some hope. Think about it, one day, we're all going to be taken off this earth. Human race is going to be extinct as we know it. We're no longer going to have a sin-filled nature. We're no longer going to be entangled in the snares of the devil. We're no longer going to be living in a corrupted world. You're either going to be living in one of two places eventually, heaven or hell. Question is, where do you guys want to go? The choice is up to you. Let me give you guys some hope now. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Might be the last couple pages in your Bible, might not be. I want to give you guys some incredible hope right now. Actually, go back to that last slide, Reuben. I want to show you, point out something. That is the Judean desert. That is the Dead Sea. The reason it's called the Dead Sea is nothing lives in there. Maybe some microorganisms, but nothing lives there. As you can see, it's pretty dry. The water looks kind of grayish. It actually burns if you get in your eyes. You float in the water. What else? You find cuts you don't have. If you get it on your tongue, it's so salty that it burns. It's really disgusting. But it's really cool because me and Ken are standing on top of Masada and we're looking down. And what do we see? A couple birds? Pretty much that was it. But nothing lives up there. And it's the lowest place on earth. Just a side note, I thought it was kind of cool, kind of interesting to go with the study. Cool. So Revelation 21. Verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Nice. So John here again is saying that he saw this physically happen. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the new city, new holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I looked, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and his will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." How amazing are those words? That should put some fuel in the fire to get you guys having God, to having Christ the center of your life, as Ken had sung earlier. That should make the fire ignite That way you want to go to heaven and hang out with God, and we get to see Him. If we were to see any part of God right now, it would burn up. We wouldn't be able to handle it because of our sin nature. Think about Moses. He only saw a little tiny glimpse of God, and his face shone so bright that he had to cover his face. But to be actually physically seeing God in His whole just blows me away. I can't even begin to comprehend that. I don't know about you guys. Try to think about that. Think about that for a second. Try to think what God is going to look like, how that's going to be in heaven. Isn't that awesome? There's not going to be no more pain, no more tears. The former things have passed away. All this nonsense stuff that we don't need, but that's in our lives, it's all gone. Jump down to verse 22. But I saw no temple in it. Wait, God has no temple. Wait, hold on. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. So God and Jesus are its temple. The city had no need for the sun or of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Does that blow you guys away? Enjoy the sun and the moon while you can. It's not going to be here forever. I just can't wait to see how illuminated the new Jerusalem is going to be. Verse 24, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no light there, no night. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. But there shall be by no means into it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So here's a question for you guys. Do you know for a fact that your name is going to be found in that book? If you guys don't know, it's a scary feeling. Because if you're to walk out this door today, you could die. I could die. We all could die. Rapture could happen. Are you going to go to heaven? Are you going to go to hell? But wait. There's more hope than what I'm just saying. There's more hope in God than a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. Go to chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me, or verse 3 of chapter 22. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them the light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Oh, beautiful words. So if you guys' names aren't going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you guys want that hope, if you guys' foreheads aren't going to have his name written on it, it's going to have the mark of the beast, the 666, you guys have a chance to escape that tonight. See, here's a good example. You're here. Here's heaven. The only way to get to heaven is through Jesus. There's no other way. There's no good deeds, no amount of works, no charitable acts will ever amount enough to get you into heaven. But it's by the love and the sacrifice that God has given us, the hope that we have in Christ, that allows us to go to heaven. Paul says that if we confess with our mouth, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So you guys have a huge choice to make tonight. And I'm challenging you guys to do something bold. Don't love the things in the world. Don't love this world. It's all going to perish. Thieves will break in and steal them. They'll be destroyed. You'll lose them. There's no need for them in heaven. Something interesting I was just thinking about. Why do people put things in caskets? Roses, jewelry, pictures. I was thinking about that the other day. It makes no sense. You can't take it with you. You have no need for it. As a matter of fact, ancient Egyptians, the pharaohs would be buried with their treasure. They said if you had the more treasure, the better your eternal life would be. That it would go with you. It would prepare you for your eternal life. Little did they know, a few centuries later when they discovered King Tut's tomb, the gold was still there. All that remained was his skeleton and a whole bunch of gold. So what's going to happen to you guys' stuff? Are you guys going to get caught up in it, in the popularity, in the materialism? Are you going to be caught up in God? You guys have a major decision to make. If you guys haven't made the decision, I know for a fact that when I was doing this, I was a little convicted because I love snowboarding. But now I like it. But we got to make our priorities straight. Make God number one, not on a list of 10, not on a list of 5, not even a list on 3, but make God number one out of a list of 1. Make him your whole, make him your everything. Start your day off with prayer, with the word. Have your quiet times. If not once a day, several times a day. Jesus said he's the bread and water. And you guys wouldn't go once or twice a week physically eating a little, only physically eating once or twice a week, would you? So you're starving yourself spiritually if the only time you're in the Bible is at church. You're starving yourself. You're eventually killing yourself. You could grow a lot more. You could see more of God and his glory if you're in his word and in his will every day. Heavenly Father, God, I just come before you, God, and I just thank you for these words, this conviction that you've laid on my heart while I was studying this, and just the amazing hope that we have in with you, God, with the new heaven, with the new earth, with the new Jerusalem, seeing your face, having your name written on our foreheads, God, with no more pain, no more tears, no more sin. Oh, what's such an amazing hope, God, an inspiration. Lord, I pray that you would just touch our lives, that you would be the center of our lives, God. And I know there's a few of us in here tonight, God, who haven't made that decision to come to know you, who don't have that hope of going to heaven, who don't know that if they were to die tonight, tomorrow, this week, that they would go to heaven for a fact. Lord, and I just want to give these kids a chance to make that decision tonight, Lord. So if there's anyone in here who hasn't made that decision, who's feeling that tug on their heart to make that decision, raise up your hand. And you can know that you will go to heaven. Is there anyone in here who feels that the Lord is calling them? It's going to be a battle. It was a battle for me. I fought it for 9 months. I wish I would have done it a long time ago. I wish I would have done it when I was your guys' age instead of 21. So if you feel that tug on your heart, that burden, if you want to know that you have heaven for a fact, make that decision now. Is there anyone in here? Awesome. God sees your hand. Anybody else? Awesome. God sees your hand. Anybody else? Yes. You're over there. God sees your hand too. He knows your guys' hearts. Yes. He sees your hand. Anybody else? Not only does he see your hand, he
knows everything about you. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. And God wants to have an amazing relationship with you guys. He doesn't want to see you guys destroying your lives. Listen to the words that I spoke earlier about my testimony. Don't destroy your lives. But instead, live for God now. Is there anybody else? All right, let's pray. Now, for those of you who raised your hand, there's no secret handshake. There's no crazy donation. There's nothing crazy you have to do. The only thing you have to do is just confess with your mouth. Repeat after me. God, I'm a sinner. I need you, Father. Lord, I want you to be the center of my life. Make me more into your image and less of the image of the world. Lord, change me from the inside out. Use me in mighty ways, Lord. I love you for what you've done and what you've given us. What an amazing blessing Jesus is to us, God. Lord, I love you and I thank you. I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. Make me new from this day on. In your name, amen. Here's the thing, guys. For those of you guys who just said that prayer, stick around. Leaders will be up here. Find a leader. We'll hook you up with a Bible if you don't have a Bible. But here's something really, really cool. Something really cool that just happened right now. The angels in heaven are shouting with the great noise, and so shall we. Here's another cool thing. You have a second birthday. Some people say, when's your birthday? Give them both birthdays and blow them away. And it'll give you an amazing opportunity to share what has happened to you in your life. Cool? Actually, we have a few minutes. Why don't we just spend some quiet time in prayer? Just amongst ourselves. You guys could group up if you want to. Those of you who just accepted the Lord into your heart, you guys could come find a leader if you want to. We'll talk to you, pray with you. Cool? So just have a few minutes. Don't run around. Don't jump around. But yeah. Ken will play a song, and when it's done, service is done. You guys have a good night.